Malik ran as he'd never run before. He was young and strong, and though he'd been running for hours already, he knew that he could keep going for a while yet. This didn't mean that he wasn't aching all over, that his throat wasn't raw with gasping and panting. The air was foul in this place. It tasted bad, it smelled bad. It was filled with pollutants, but still Malik ran, sucking it in great lungfuls. He was staggering along a corrugated steel conduit. As if such a surface wasn't difficult enough, it was streaked with oil and grease, and strewn with a rubble of broken machine parts. And of course, it was dark. It was always dark here. Inevitably, he stumbled and fell. He landed face first. A jagged edge tore his chin and lower lip, the pain lancing through him. The metallic taste of blood filled his mouth. He spat it out as he hauled himself to his feet. His wheezing for breath was so loud that he imagined it could be heard for hundreds of meters along the conduit. Not that it needed to be, because now, when he listened, he heard a clank, clank of approaching feet. He turned sharply. Around the corner, some 20 meters away, a figure appeared. It was indistinguishable in the dimness, apart from its eyes, from which two red laser beams blazed. They swept from one side of the passage to the next, quickly pinpointing him. Malik shrieked and threw himself to the ground. There was an ear-shattering crump as an energy bolt struck the conduit wall close to where he'd been standing, showering him with red-hot shards. Though dizzied by pain and concussion, Malik wormed his way out through the smoking aperture. There was a drop on the other side, which for all he knew might plummet hundreds of meters onto more piles of scrap, or into a corrosive sludge of waste chemicals. But in fact, he fell no more than a meter, landing on a rickety steel catwalk which shuddered as he stumbled along it. A ladder appeared to his left. He climbed down it, staring back up towards the punctured conduit. That tall figure was in the process of clambering out. It wore bulky coveralls, tiger-striped black and grey, and an open-faced helmet with a black visor across the eyes. Below that, an oxygen mask was clamped to its nose and mouth, a rubber pipe snaking back over the shoulder, joining a tank-type assembly on its back. Another of the most futuristic rifles Malik had ever seen was angled back across the figure's shoulder as it moved towards the edge of the catwalk and gazed down, that burning laser vision spearing through the shadows. Malik reached the ground and went full pelt towards the nearest wall. This was about 5 meters tall, though a portion of it had been smashed down when an overhead girder had rotted from its moorings. Malik scrambled through and then was tumbling down a slope of bricks and smashed masonry. Somewhere to his left there was a towering skeletal structure. Was it his imagination, or was another figure perched on one of its high parapets, taking aim at him? A green spark answered the question. He knew what that weapon was. They'd referred to it as the Eradicator. Even over this distance, there must have been 50 meters between the two of them, Malik heard the rising hum as the energy pack charged itself, and with a whiplash crack, a great zigzag of electricity sizzled towards him. His heels shot forward and he landed hard on his back. The bolt slashed through the air only inches over his head, striking the impacted rubble. The blast threw Malik to the bottom of the slope where he lay helpless. His exhaustion now gave way to a terrible despair. He could sense that his back was damaged. When he tried to get to his feet, pain chewed through his spine like a buzzsaw. With a clatter of bricks, the figure in stripes descended the slope towards him. From the other direction, the man with the Eradicator was climbing from his perch. "No," Malik said under his breath. "No, it wasn't going to end like this." He dragged his broken body back up and tried to run, though now it was more a comical caper. Blood filled his mouth, sweat blinded him.